Jill Stein, welcome to Weekend Edition.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Another presidential candidate was in New Hampshire not so long ago. Hillary Clinton was in Portsmouth accepting the endorsement of Bernie Sanders, a candidate who you once offered to step aside for. You're now saying that Sanders supporters should back you instead of the candidate he's backing. Why?
Because they don't want their hard work and all that they've accomplished over this past year to go back into the graveyard of the Democratic Party. It's very hard to have a revolutionary campaign, a counter-revolutionary party, and I think it would be too bad to wind up behind a candidate who unfortunately represents the opposite of what that movement is about. And so many have looked to my campaign to be Plan B in the event that they wound up faced with Hillary Clinton as the prospect of their candidate. So it wasn't something that I had to suggest. It's just been pushed ahead by the members of the Sanders campaign who've really been looking for another place to go to make sure that their work continues and that they achieve this transformation of our economy and of our society that we desperately need and that people are demanding.
A look through your campaign platform finds things like a major push for clean energy jobs, opposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a $15 an hour minimum wage. And some of these are things you'll also find in the latest version of the Democratic National Party platform, which Democrats are calling the most progressive platform the party's ever produced. You're saying that's not the whole story.
I'm afraid not. The platform is a non-binding document to start with. So this has been, I think, a diversion from the reality. Hillary Clinton has a very clear track record, the candidate of Wall Street, of Walmart, and what that represents about the economy, and of war. Hillary Clinton has really been leading the charge on all of those fronts, dismantling the social safety net for women and children, together with her husband, Bill, with whom she's been a political partner, leading the charge for NAFTA and exporting our jobs, leading the charge to deregulate Wall Street that laid the groundwork for this unbelievable Wall Street meltdown that disappeared 9 million jobs and stole 5 million homes and has really created the climate of austerity and economic struggle that everyday people are faced with. So when Bernie gave his endorsement to Hillary, what he was basically saying is, isn't it great that she's not Trump? But he didn't have a whole lot of great things to say about Hillary because Hillary represents very much the opposite of what Bernie's committed to. So my agenda continues Bernie's, and in fact, it extends it. We call for 100% clean renewable energy by 2030, which is actually the realistic time frame if we are to stop climate catastrophe. We call for 20 million jobs. That's the number that we actually need in order to put everyone back to work in this emergency jobs program to solve the emergency of climate change. We also go further, calling for a foreign policy based on international law and human rights, rather than a foreign policy that is blowing back at us madly now of economic and military domination, essentially a war on terror that has created more terror with each turn of the cycle of violence. So we're saying in this race, you know, it's time to forget the lesser evil and stand up and fight for the greater good like our lives depend on it, because they do.
Your New Hampshire schedule includes a march with supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement in Manchester. And we're barely a week away from the deaths of Alton Sterling in Louisiana, Philando Castile in Minnesota, and five police officers in Dallas. What is the way forward so that we don't have another week like that?
We've had one week after another like this, and one day after another like this, and, you know, a total of deaths now at the hands of police this year alone that's approaching 600. So, you know, this is the rule and not the exception for, you know, what police brutality looks like. It's been an incredible week because it was really up close and personal with these horrifying videos of what actually happened to Alton Sterling and to Philando Castile. And it's important that we use this moment, this incredible moment of shock and mourning, including the blowback against the Dallas police. So it's very important that we do something different here. First of all, we call for enacting the recommendations of the commission coming out of Ferguson, which is that we need citizen-based police review boards. In addition, we call for full-time investigators so that we have accountability, so that every case of death at the hands of police or in police custody is investigated as a matter of routine. It doesn't require a miracle from the Department of Justice in order to find out what happened and to hold any perpetrators accountable. In addition, we call for a truth and reconciliation commission to deal with the living legacy of the criminal institution of slavery, because there's been a continuous line from slavery to lynching to Jim Crow, the war on drugs, which has been a war on black and brown people, segregation, police violence, mass incarceration, et cetera. So this is something that, you know, we need to understand, and we need to address the violence of racism that is not limited to these interactions with police. This happens within our economy, within our health system, within our schools and housing. So it really requires a comprehensive solution. It's not rocket science. We can do this, but as a society, we need to get our hands around it and understand it and fix it.
You've said that in times of great social upheaval, third parties are critically important. Oftentimes, third parties who have had an impact on the two major parties have disappeared then after those changes. Is your goal to influence the two major parties, change what they do, or is it to introduce the Green Party and make that perhaps a third major party?
The public is clamoring for an independent major party, one that's not corrupted by lobbyists, by corporate contributions, by super PACs. Right now, I'm the only candidate in the race that brings that to the table. This is exactly what people are clamoring for, at the same time that people have rejected these candidates that they dislike and distrust at record levels. Remember, there are 42 million young people and not so young people trapped in predatory student loan debt. I'm the only candidate that will cancel that debt like we did for the crooks on Wall Street. 42 million people looking for a solution is actually enough to win a three-way presidential race. So I would say, hold on to your hat. We may look at a voter revolt that is well in the works if people find out about our campaign. I'm also the only candidate who will be talking about Medicare for All and a single-payer system that the state of Vermont has been leading the charge on. So I encourage people, join the team, come to our website, make sure that we have a voice for single-payer and for an economy that works for all of us in the debates. We can get to 15%. We've gotten halfway there without any help, really, from the corporate media whatsoever, just by word of mouth, by everyday people, by Bernie supporters, and by young people standing up to say, this is the future we deserve, and we want it now.
Dr. Jill Stein, thanks so much for talking with me.
Great talking with you, Brady. Take care.